Raise your hand if the weather this winter has gotten to you. It started, you might remember, with an earlier than usual for us snowfall in mid-December that remained on the ground for a while because it was also colder than usual. All I remember about January is obsessively watching weather forecasts. What's headed our way? When is it going to get here? What might we need to cancel? Of course, all the snow that's accumulated over the past few months has finally melted, and we've been getting rain and more rain. It's nice that things seem to be turning around out there this morning, because it feels like it's been rainy, cloudy, foggy, and or dreary for about a year at this point. At least we'll have a lush, beautiful spring, right? Lots of green grass to mow, gorgeous blossoms on the flowering trees, abundant daffodils, tulips, and hyacinths emerging from the soil. Living things, all living things, animals, plants, fungi, bacteria, and whatever other categories I'm forgetting from my ninth grade biology class, they all need water and thrive when they get it. The average person will die after just 3 days without water. Now for us, rather privileged Americans, access to pure, clean H2O is as easy as turning on the faucet at our kitchen sink or popping into the sheets to buy a bottle. For many people around the world, it's a different story. It certainly was back in Jesus' day. Getting water was work, women's work. Was done in the cool of the morning when the women made their way from their homes to the village well, their clay jars and pitchers in hand. They would have all gotten to know each other over time, seeing each other morning after morning. They'd talk about their husbands, ask after their children, share the latest news as they filled their vessels with the water needed by their households that day. And that's what would have happened several hours earlier at the well we heard about in our gospel, the well at which Jesus has plopped himself down. It's now noon. The sun is high in the sky and it's hot, and here she comes, the Samaritan woman. There's a reason she wasn't there in the cool of the morning with the rest of the women. It might have something to do with her situation, the one involving 5 husbands and now a 6th man who is not her husband. Maybe the Samaritan woman has been talked about, made to feel unwelcome, shamed for her bad luck. The divorces and deaths that have resulted in her being passed along from man to man. Like the rest of us, she needs water to survive, and if it means coming to the well all alone in the heat of the day, then so be it. Except, as you heard, she ends up not being alone. A man is sitting by the well, a man tired out by his travels. It's still early in Jesus' ministry, but he's been busy. He's called disciples, turned water into wine, started teaching about God's love, started getting in trouble with the religious authorities. After traipsing around Judea, Jesus is headed back to Galilee by way of Samaria. "Give me a drink," he says to the woman who comes his way. Now, such a request probably sounds perfectly ordinary to your ears. We wouldn't think anything of it. But 2,000 years ago, this was not normal. Unrelated men and women did not casually engage in conversation with one another out in public or anywhere else. And my goodness, the chasm that existed between a Jewish rabbi such as Jesus and a Samaritan woman. Samaritans were pagans, impure, unclean as far as the people of Jesus' faith were concerned. They worshiped wrong, thought wrong, believed wrong. This wasn't a matter of a minor disagreement. Lines were clearly and firmly drawn. Jew, Samaritan, clean, unclean, insider, outsider. Samaritan woman knows all of this and she names it. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And so begins one of the longest one-on-one conversations recorded in Scripture, which our primetime players shared just a few moments ago. The conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well is quite something, actually, covering an awful lot of territory. We hear talk of living water, an exchange about true worship. We learn that Jesus knows a lot about the woman and her history. We hear her proclaim her hopeful expectation that the Messiah is coming. And we listen as Jesus tells her, "I am he." It gets even more complicated. The disciples come upon this scene, astonished, as anyone would be, that their teacher was speaking with a woman. There's confusing dialogue between the disciples and Jesus about food, fields ripe for harvesting, people reaping that for which they did not labor. This passage from John is so full and involves so many moments of people talking past each other or misunderstanding each other. It's hard to know exactly what to say about it. Scripture is like that sometimes, like drinking from a fire hose. And maybe that's the best thing to take from our gospel today. That God's goodness just keeps flowing and flowing. It never runs dry. It's here, in this place, abundant in the waters of baptism, in the meal offered at that table. God's abundant goodness is for Samaritan women in situations and disciples who are confused, for people who gossip and those gossiped about, for the insiders and the outsiders. God's abundant goodness is for all of us who thirst. Not just for the water we need to survive, but for the love and mercy and forgiveness we need to grow and blossom and bear fruit as children of God. That's what we find here at the well. In the presence of Christ, in this community of saints and sinners. And all we have to do is come and see.